For, well, fifth, okay. The rules is 14763.
But.
Hi, everyone. This is Julie Fedorchak, Chairman of the Public Service Commission, and we are gathered here on the 12th floor of the Capitol. Today is Friday the 13th. It is 11:10 a.m., and we are here to discuss for a work session on grain bond rules that has some implication on two cases that we are also working on or are still active, case number 14-763 and case number 15-107. So I don't have any opening comments. I'll turn this work session over to Commissioner Crispin, who will handle it because this is his portfolio. Thank you.
Okay. We just very recently, I'm not sure exactly the date, had our Administrative Rules Committee on a new bond rule package, and those were approved. And they go into effect July 1st. And the reason for that is so that the licensees do not have to all change their bonds for the next couple of months in order to remain in compliance. But as they've gone into effect, we had a new licensee apply, and their intention was to just go ahead and follow the new rules and get on board. And actually, there were two things. One with the question that I'm hoping to iron out today with this work session, and then one other difference of opinion. I don't know that what they acquired for a bond in that case is exactly as this would come out anyway. But it makes a good test case to show a question in the order of how the math gets done in adopting these new rules. So while that case might be cited here as an example, they are already approved at an already approved bond amount for the next 2+ months, and come July 1st, it will be something different based on really what we decide here today, how to apply the new package. But I at least have no intention of setting this bond specifically with them or this rule specifically with them in mind. It's just trying to carry out our original intention, and that will be one that will be impacted by whatever we conclude. Mm-hmm. And with that, Sue did a nice job of laying out a scenario here and how, two different ways of looking at it can come up with a different conclusion. And so if you want to just work through this, Sue, then we can all go from there.
All right. Well, what I did was use the example that was in front of the commission just recently and calculate a bond. I calculated it, and the licensee in this case calculated it, and we compared notes, and we arrived at the same bond when we compared notes. But what we did is, using the new rules, we take a look. A licensee has to file a higher bond because they are a new licensee. So the first, under Alternative 1 and Alternative 2, you'll see, using the new bond schedule, we arrived on a bond based on capacity, a combination of the two different amounts, 65 cents or 26 cents a bushel, depending on the capacity. We're at 812,500.
So just because it helps me remember what we said as those new amounts, the 65 cents per bushel was because it's a new facility. What's the rate for a facility that is longer than 6 years? Yeah.
It's 50 cents.
Okay.
So it's a 30% increase over in an established business. And then it's a 30%, it's 50 cents a bushel for the first 500,000 bushels.
Yep.
Or 65 cents for the first 500,000. And then if your capacity exceeds 500,000, it's that first bond amount plus additional bond for each bushel that exceeds 500,000 bushels.
Right.
So in this case, that's 1,871,000 bushels at the rate of 26 cents because they're a new licensee.
What would it be for an established licensee?
If they would be established, it would be 20 cents.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. Thank you.
And then the second circumstance that comes into play here is you take a look at their capacity, and if the amount of grain that they are going to handle on an annual basis exceeds seven times the capacity, the portion that exceeds seven times, you have to file additional bond for that. So seven times their capacity is 16,597,000 bushels. So the difference beyond that, the difference between that number and the 24 million bushels that they anticipate handling is 7,403,000 bushels. And then that rate is 20 cents a bushel, and that doesn't change whether you are okay. a new licensee or an established licensee. It's 20 cents a bushel for that amount that exceeds that seven times capacity.
And so in this, can I ask a question here?
Mm-hmm.
What, I don't know, I might be just missing it. What do they expect? And this is what they expect, not what, I mean, in the future, going forward, what do they expect is their handle, their total handle?
24 million.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. I guess I apologize. I had it in and I actually took it out.
That's okay. We've got the difference. But
yep, trying to cut it back. So anyhow, that additional bond, based on that very large volume that they are going to be handling, is 1,485,000 bushels.
Dollars.
Yeah. Yes, sorry, dollars. So if you add that subtotal capacity or bond for the capacity, and then you add the amount for the handle, it comes out to $2,297,500. So under alternative one, looking at alternative one, the required bond amount is $2,297,500. And then Dakota Spirit said that they're going to establish and file a policy to...
Can
I interrupt at this point? Mm-hmm. Up to this point, we're in the alternative one and alternative two, there's the difference of just under $2.3 million as opposed to $2
million. Yes.
To this point, there's nothing that's unclear.
No.
There's
no,
nothing
right.
that's disagreed on. That's
no. This is no. the point at which the question.
If we were at that level, that 2.3 million, with an old existing facility, but just because they had so much capacity that's what it came to, mm-hmm. it would still be at the same point from here on. So all that we've been through here is really not in question.
And I actually need to point out a typo on my email, on my memo here, because where you see 1.6 million in alternative number two column, that should be 1.4 million. There's I was going to say the difference is more than just 8,000.
But now I don't see a typo.
Well, after it says the paragraph Dakota said it will establish and file the policy, and then they were looking for that 30% reduction.
Okay.
If you start with the $2,297,500 figure, mm-hmm. and you apply a 30% reduction, the bond comes in at $1,608,250 as being the required bond amount.
Mm-hmm.
And I quite honestly, when I calculated it, and I calculated it the same way Dakota Spirit did, and they probably did following my direction, is at this point I thought, okay, well, if the required bond amount, the maximum amount that the commission can require is $2 million, then you take the $2 million because that's the max, and then I applied that 30% reduction to $2 million, which is where I came up with that 30%. But when I applied that, if you're taking a look at each one of those individual steps for calculating a bond, number one is capacity, number two is a handle, number three is the reduce bond based on, you know, your conversion. And then number four gets to, this is the maximum amount. That's where the confusion comes in, is that do you use that higher amount that's required and you take that 30% reduction before you arrive at a maximum bond amount, or
is it the 2.2 versus 2 million? Is that what you're getting at here?
Yes. Do you apply the maximum bond there or later? That's all.
I'm going to interrupt here, and I think I can simplify, and then Sue, correct me if I say something wrong. First of all, make the 1.6 a 1.4.
Yes.
So that we're all referring to the same numbers. Now, and then,
I'm not that confused if I just...
If you go up a line between the two alternatives, the difference between 2.297 million and 2 million is on alternative two, Sue has taken step number four in our process and brought it up, which says it's a $2 million maximum.
Right.
So that's why alternative two is 2 million. And then step number three is that they get a 30% discount with this conversion process. So in alternative one, you subtract 30%, you get 1.6 million. In alternative two, you subtract 30%, you get 1.4 million. That is the difference. Do we apply the minimum and then finish doing the formula, or do we do the whole formula to the end
and then apply
the minimum?
Right. And maximum.
The maximum. And the wording of the rule really could support either way. We kind of went through this.
If a maximum is a maximum, so you'd apply it to the maximum.
To the end.
You'd apply them
to the 2.297 or to the maximum.
No, you'd total this all up, so you're adding up what's their total bond. Well, it would be technically 2.2 million, but we've got a max of two.
That's what she did, yeah.
So I would do it like you did it.
Now, the one thing that Sue thought of after we talked about this last Friday, I think, at the whiteboard, okay, the bunch of lawyers and two grain people. But the one thing that Sue told me yesterday when she was writing this that is that if you have somebody in business for 3 years and then they decide to apply the conversion policy, okay, they decide to change to motivate,
right.
You would be treating them differently than a similarly situated elevator where you came to the 2.297 first before applying the 30%. Because they'd be sitting around at the maximum.
They would have.
And so you would end up, and this I never thought of this last week, but you would end up maybe with two similarly situated elevators. But because of when they chose to say, oh, I think I'll do the policy, they would have a different bond. And that was something that never occurred to me last time.
And it didn't occur to me when we had the discussion either. It occurred to me when I was listening to Commissioner Chrisman during the commission meeting, and I'm going, you know, the light bulb went on, and I'm like, okay, what if they had filed a bond today, and that maximum bond was $2 million, and then they operated for 2 months or 3 months or 6 months or 2 years or whatever, and then they came back and said, we're going to establish a policy. And I need to know... Yeah, not just for this reason, but we need to know for ongoing.
Here's how I feel about it, because I really studied this overnight, and I even went through and thought to myself, okay, what if they decide that they're going through a little more corn than they thought, and they're going to do 27 million bushels a year? And frankly, then it gets up to where even after their 30% discount, they're over 2 million, and so the 2 million maximum would apply regardless which order you do it.
Yeah.
I think alternative one is the correct approach, to just go through and do the whole formula. If they change something, their conversion policy or something like that, then at that point you look at where they're at and you do all the math, and then when it's all done, you apply the maximum. Just like if you have your health insurance policy and you have a big procedure and you have a $5,000 deductible, if you bypass some small part of that or take a generic instead of a brand name and save them $100, that's not coming off of your off of your the $5,000 that you pay. It doesn't matter. You're going to still pay $5,000. And I think we should go in the order that we did, work through the whole process for them, and then there's a maximum. Just like if you're a small facility with a $50,000 minimum, even though you might do a quicker conversion policy, it still is a $50,000 minimum.
Well, and Dakota Spirit, in this case, they said they'll do whatever is necessary. But what I would like to do is I believe it's important for it to be made clear, because I would hate to see us establish a pattern of, okay, I'm applying for a license that's going to be to my benefit, to not establish the policy at the get-go so that I qualify for the less bond.
So clearly, we need to decide and decide.
Plus, it goes in the grain program.
So that's not, we don't need to spend a lot of time debating that. That's obvious. And I'm
okay in a future rulemaking to make it even more clear. But part of my thought process on this, A, was what I just told you about how other things I think that are similar work, where the minimum and maximum are kind of applied at the end, not in the middle of a formula. But also the fact that if you go through our guidelines on figuring your bond, you start with your capacity, and then it jumps into your volume. And number three is if you have a shorter conversion policy. And then number four is the maximum. To go with alternative number two, we would follow this formula 1, 2, 4, 3. And so I think until we clarify it more, like I say, I do think it should be clarified to go in order, but until it's clarified, just going in order I think seems logical enough too.
So what's the point of the maximum?
Of having a maximum, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, why did we establish that $2 million was the most we were ever going to be?
I can't tell you the reason that there's ever been a maximum. It used to be 1.5, and it went up to $2 million. I don't know that there's a good argument for. You could change your minds. The commission could and decide that we're never going to have a max if you have to file a $3 million bond or $4 million or $5 million, whatever the case may be. That's what you are required to file.
When we change the rule.
That would certainly take a rulemaking process, because we'd have comments on that.
But it just, in my mind, triggers the...
It's a question related to the decision, I understand.
Yeah.
I don't know the reasoning either, unless it's just that constant balancing of need and protection versus cost to the elevator.
The only thing I can guess...
Like, I can see the business thinking, okay, we're past the... 2 million, so the 30% would always come off of the 2 million, because that's the most you'd ever bond. I can just see them logically making that assumption, because we don't ever entertain higher than 2 million bond, because it's the max. So that's the only and I don't feel strongly about this. I get your logic too. It's just that I can see why they hit that calculation, and maybe you told them to or whatever, but that they're going through like, okay, we're over the 2 million. We're going to apply the 30% reduction on the 2 million bond, because that's the most we'd ever have to pay by their rules or by law. I don't know where it is.
Well, I was going to say the biggest, and I was, when we talked, I was exactly where Commissioner Chrisman is with a 1, 2, 3, 4, you do this, then you do this, then you do this, then you do this discount. But the biggest drawback to it today that I see is having similarly situated elevators treated differently in the end, and perhaps abusing the discount by not having it for the first 3 months, or whatever, and then imposing it. So they can be under the 2 million for a while and then impose their and get their discount. I can't imagine their whole business plan depending on that, but.
You got to explain to me again how that would happen.
Well, if you took two exact same elevators with capacity and handle and everything, but one of them was just coming in for the first time and we were going through steps 1, 2, 3, and 4, okay, they'd end up with their 1.608.
You could use this as an example.
Yeah, another one was exactly the same, but they were not under a 30% discount for a while. So they're under $2 million. And then in 4 months or 6 months or something, they say, I think maybe I'll start converting differently, and they would be exactly the same elevator, But one would be at 1.6 and one would then be at 1.4.
Because when they decide to start converting, they would be refiling their bond, and we would start from the beginning, calculate it out.
You
just
would
calculate
them from scratch.
I think.
As opposed to just giving them a discount. I never thought of that.
That thought never entered my mind.
I never
but that could that be either. Difficult to do, too, depending on how your business changes. Because if you're...
I mean, is that logical to do it that way? I mean, if you're a business and you've got a maximum $2 million bond, and then you come in and you decide, like Dakota Spirit says, oh, my bond is $2 million today, and then next year they decide, you know what, we want to do this conversion policy, and so it applies off of our, 30% bond reduction. Our bond is $2 million. That's what we're paying. So it's going to be 30% off of that.
You could be paying it for 10 years and can change your policy.
Yeah.
It's a little odd, I think, to recalculate. But I never thought of that either. So
I think you always recalculate. You start from the beginning. You can't. I don't know of anything where you start formulas in the middle and jump around.
Well, it doesn't matter to me. Just so
Step back from the policy. What's the difference? I mean, how much are you just getting a higher bond? Is that the goal here, is to get the most bond as we can? Because if you calculate it off of the 2.2, then you're getting a higher bond versus the 2 million. You know, is that what we're protecting against? Our goal is to try to, in the cases where they're exceeding the capacity of the bond, the maximum, where they have a lot more volume and it's a riskier, then we're collecting more bond.
Yeah, I don't know if it's quite as simple as that. We got several things we're trying to do. Of course, the first things I won't even go into because they're the same in this either way, but in these last two steps, we've got a discount to discount and have a maximum that, if you get really, really big, we're not going to just keep pounding on you. It'll only go so high. We also have a discount available if you do a shorter conversion. And, so what order do they apply? Like I say, it seems to me that maximum and minimums are the very end. You figure out where you are, and then if there's a maximum or minimum, that's when those things apply.
I know, but the result is, what's the...
Well, the result will be that in any of these cases, yes, applying the maximum at the end will have a few of these playing more. I can't think of any way that it would be less.
I can't either.
No.
Although if the thinking that would suggest that we should apply the maximum first and then do a discount on it, I would think that would also go for a minimum as well. And so if you're a 50,000, a real small facility that has to pay the $50,000 minimum, I suppose you should get a 15 or 30% discount off of that, too.
You have the policy. I mean, if you want to motivate, the policy is meaningless to the two ends that don't get it, then,
Well, except we already included in the rules that a bond will never go below 50,000. We had that discussion.
Right.
We just didn't have the upper.
Even with the 30%
discussion.
Discount.
Yeah,
you can't go. A minimum bond is $50,000, and that's all it's ever going to be.
Yeah, and so those people would lose any motivation to have a conversion policy. So that's true.
Well, you would hope that anybody
and,
that is
and also and
any
also
bond motivation.
But keep in mind, also, it's not just the small ones that lose the motivation. Like I said, if these guys switch from 24 to 27 million. Then there's no longer a motivation for a quick conversion either, because they're going to be, even with the quick conversion, they're going to be over 2 million and it'll go down to 2 million.
Right. There are people on each end that will not be affected by that.
None of these.
That's not a good thing. I mean, don't we want to encourage? I get it in the minimum that you aren't ever going to go below, but do we want to discourage people from the conversion policy?
Well, under these rules, we're going to either way. Like I say, even if we switch the order here to alternative two, if they grow a little bit, it's gone for them anyhow.
Do we have any handle on how many people this actually affects? Because it's just the big ones.
I don't think it's going to affect very many.
You'd have to be a real big one, but not quite huge.
Yeah.
It's so close here that they would be over the maximum.
And whatever the final decision it is, I just need to know because I'm how the commission wants us to implement it.
Well, and we're writing the program, so it's automatic.
Yep. And, you know, depending on how we want it to be done, maybe it would be a good idea to tweak the way it was written so that it words differently.
Yeah.
So it doesn't leave us open to that interpretation and we're constantly redoing bonds.
Whatever we decide, we'll do it either way. I mean, yeah, that's in the plans, but not today.
But like I said, my biggest concern is, I mean, if you were putting together a business and you really stop and think about it, I would hate to promote the language that, okay, I'm going to file this $2 million bond, and then I'm going to establish a policy later so I qualify for a bond. Unless we're starting from ground one.
If you recalculate from the scratch, then that wouldn't change.
Anytime they make changes, we start fresh, don't we?
Not necessarily. Your bond, I mean, you kind of keep going up and you go down. You don't ever go back to some previous. We've never had a bond that has worked in a way that we've ever had a need or there's ever been.
Go back and
recall. Yeah, a need or the any purpose in doing that. So this is
like if you have a capacity change now that brings them down to another bond increment, you just subtract down to that bond increment. You don't start over. There's because there was no need to start over. There weren't that many things going on.
There's nothing that affects.
But there's more moving parts in these new rules than in the old rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other one was there were no moving parts.
Right.
This is it.
You don't have to decide this second if you need time to think about it. I mean, between now and June would be good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to be asking ahead of time.
Yes,
so I think
today, necessarily.
I think by
at least
a month from now, Sue could be getting questions and she needs to be able to answer them and doing this.
Required bond. I don't know. I mean, I'm inclined to just go along with you the way you want it because it's your portfolio, Randy. But it doesn't seem logical in my mind to apply it after at a higher level than what the maximum bond is. And I think it does raise some issues with the down the road, you know, with folks who want to convert, and then we're going back and saying, okay, but you know, your total would be 2.7 million, and really, and so it applies to the 2.7 million, and so we'll be taking it off of that. When I think they'll be expecting it to come off the 2 million, so I think that's just, I don't know how you get around that because it's you'd have to clarify it in the language that the bond would be the total maximum, the total bond calculated regardless of maximum or something, you know, in the make it more clear. How do we say that right now?
It says a required bond, and I think that's what
a required bond.
Yeah.
May be reduced based on a licensee's conversion policy. The required bond is reduced by 30% for a licensee.
And that has
and
always
so,
been
and
the
And it really
language
isn't a required used. Bond because the required bond is $2 million.
Yeah, that's the, yeah, exactly. That it's just,
I mean, we wouldn't, the required bond isn't 2.2975, it's 2. So, I don't feel strongly because, A, I don't think it applies to that many, and I don't think it's, I bet that they don't care that much because it's a difference of not that much money to them. I just think, you know, in terms of clarity in our language and how we drafted this and how I think the public would, or the companies would logically read it, I think it would be more clear applying it to the maximum bond than on a recalculation going back to what their total bond would have been if we didn't have a maximum. So I'll leave it up to you with those thoughts.
You do raise a good point. I did not stop to think that every time one of these big processors or any one of our licensees that has a large handle, I never thought about the fact that I'm going to have to go back kind of to the beginning, I mean, to and start from nothing to calculate the bond on an annual basis.
Well, you are on the, I thought of that for the,
I didn't.
Because of the handle. It might not change because they might do the same kind of business each year and they report to you the same thing, but that part you are recalculating, but that's a little different than somebody just saying, okay, Sue, here I'm reporting this conversion policy now.
Yeah.
Give me 30%.
So let me ask you this. When 7 years go by, you think they're going to expect that you're going to go back to the beginning, or you think they're going to expect that whatever they had the year before just carries on?
No, you'd go back to the beginning because that's the way the rules are written. But they're written that way. If you're at this many years and this many years, here's the number you apply, mm-hmm. I mean, which is different than applying the percentage somewhere down at the end.
Yeah.
Seemed like a good idea when we wrote it.
It's a great idea. It needs to be, you know,
just needs
clarified.
To be tweaked.
And it's just this one. It's just this. We could have done this for 10 years and not had anybody exceed this maximum and never had to face it.
I'm guessing this will be a one-time situation, except for, like I say, I'm guessing there will be a whole bunch of people who pay, not a whole bunch. I'm thinking there'll be 8 or 10 that pay a minimum bond.
Either way.
Who don't do hardly any business, and they'll start a policy like this, and they'll want their bond to be $35,000 instead of $50,000.
The way we're writing our program right now is it's going to have the components. The computer's going to do the capacity, the handle, the years, or whatever the case may be. So,
So we just need it for writing the program. But
think about how Paul will write it so that
So you think they'll want it? See, I was thinking just the opposite. You think that they say what you just said again about the smaller producers and why you think that they'll. You think that going off the maximum would suggest that they could then go off the minimum and go below?
Well, I don't know why not. If you get a 15% or 30% discount, if you do the rest of the formula first and apply a maximum. Mm-hmm. Before the discounting, then I don't know why you wouldn't apply the minimum before the discounting. I would be lost for a reason why you could do one way and the other way.
Well, the dollar costs
you say
different.
We never go below the minimum, right? I mean,
right.
We have a thing that says we never go below the minimum.
Right.
And then we also don't go above the maximum.
Right.
You can only go, the commission.
It would be the same. We never go below the minimum, so we don't calculate anything that goes below that, and we don't calculate anything above the maximum.
Right.
It always is applied to the maximum, and so those are your parameters. So that's how I viewed that.
I think those guys are going to come in, and I would be sympathetic to their argument. Oh, for those big guys, you let them discount themselves down and get to their max first and then get another discount, and so thus have two discounts. But you don't let me do my discount off of my.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing that came to my mind when
The required bond, and if the required bond is the maximum on this case.
Well,
I wish we didn't have that. I mean, if our goal is to get them a higher bond, then we should have when we were writing 30% discount. You know, that's where we failed. because the required bond is
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, in the first conversation that we had was when you talked about going higher, I said, well, number five says that the commission may require an increase in the amount of bond at any time. So maybe if we're going to apply a higher amount of bond, we have to put the company on notice and give them an opportunity to be heard before the commission as to why the higher bond shouldn't be required and then the discount applied. That's kind of how I initially thought it may work.
And well, the other thing is I think the statute gives us enough authority to have the lower than 50,000 also. I don't think the rule, I mean.
It says 5,000.
I know, but what I mean is the authority to change the 50. The statute says set it by rule, but. So even that is probably something that if you had a situation before you on a case-by-case basis, you could do. I don't know that you want to go there.
Well, I mean, I'm comfortable if we say, no, what we intended was the 30% discount comes off of the total calculation, period. And so you folks under, but still, we still might have something that would be 60 and would we lower it lower than 50?
Yeah. And I just want
to. So we still may get that issue of the minimum going below it. Regardless of how we apply this top one.
You know, on that required bond part, I don't feel like we failed anything here. Obviously, we made something not quite as clear as it needed to be, but never did I think that if a facility was so big that, let's say, you know, under the old rules, they had a $10 million bond. And when I thought about a 30% discount, never did I think that they were going to fall into that because they only have a $2 million maximum. So, I mean, they're already getting a huge discount from what the formula says.
Uh-huh.
So I never was thinking about something that large qualifying for still another discount.
Yeah. Well, you make a good point, Randy. Then I think we just need to implement it that way, where we apply it just in the order of the rule, and then when we get a chance, another rule package, we'll just tweak it so that it's more clear. And then we should look at that minimum too, because that I think exists regardless of where what we do with this maximum. Their bond could be required to be 60,000, and then they get the discount, and it goes below 50. Are we going to give it to them for 45, for 40? You know what? Or are we going to stick with no? The minimum is the minimum.
So, it's in the order written, and also then the parallel thing in order to be, you know, not deny equal protection of the laws would be to recalculate. It, for an entity that comes in later with a discount, you recalculate from the beginning. You don't just apply the discount to their bond. I mean, they have to, they have to go hand in hand.
Right, absolutely.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I understand.
Now I know. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I think, do you have anything else on this issue?
I do not.
Okay.
Sorry, I guess, sorry to the company that happened to fall into this and that we didn't write it, you know, quite clear enough and maybe caused confusion. But the good news is, you know, they're such a good player. They're already... have provided, now it turns out, less than what this way of calculating will require going forward from July 1st on, but they provided significantly more than what they would have needed to from now till July, and their license was approved yesterday, effective March 30th, so in 2.5 weeks, hopefully they'll be taken in grain and getting ready to make ethanol when the time comes.
Thank you. That concludes our work session.
Yeah, thanks, Sue, for putting all this together. It was really helpful having a chart like that.